Let's go in-depth on Hawkeye sports with the Des Moines Register. It's time for Hawk Central on 1460 KXNO.
Happy Wednesday and welcome into a fresh episode of the Hawk Central Radio Hour here on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. I am your host, Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register. After a Tuesday edition last week to accommodate our friends who cover Iowa State, we are back on our home night of Wednesday and home time slot of 6 to 7 o'clock. Glad to be with you as always. There is plenty to discuss this week as the Hawkeye football program has its media day on Friday and then its annual open practice. That'll be noon on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium. Admission is free. More details on that as the program unfolds. Also, something to talk about tonight would be the season sellout in terms of tickets at Kinnick Stadium. Pretty remarkable feat more than a month out to the season. And then there might be some TV media rights stuff we discuss a little later on. But before we get to that stuff, I wanted to open the show with a fun exercise that should get us revved up for the season ahead. And, not to worry you folks too much, but the Iowa football schedule is pretty demanding, I think, at least compared to last year and some previous years. But to discuss that next, I want to bring on my friend, my colleague, trusted teammate over in Iowa City, Kennington Smith. Kennington, I know mom and dad are in town from Georgia this weekend. How are they enjoying Iowa this week?
First of all, thank you for welcoming me on, and they're having a great time. It was my mom's birthday last week. It's actually my dad's birthday this week, so back-to-back birthdays.
Huge.
That we're going to be celebrating. So it's been a good time. We went to the Amana Colonies last weekend. So we, tried the chocolate and brought back some steaks and bacon and all of that for us to eat at home. So that was really fun. And they will be in attendance at the Kids Day scrimmage this weekend. So they get a chance to see the team in person themselves before they head back to Atlanta. So overall, just been good to have them out here. This is going to be the last time I see them for a while. They have been adamant since I've moved up here that they will not be around for the winter. So they got their trip in while the sun is still out. So just enjoying this time and then, maybe see them around Christmas time, in the next few months.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, glad they're going to be on hand for the Kids Day scrimmage Saturday noon at Kinnick Stadium for those wanting to attend. Admission is free. All right, Kennington, let's dig into this Iowa football schedule in kind of a fun way. We did this last year, and I think it's a good exercise for our listeners more than anything to kind of just outline the challenges of each of these games. Well, we don't do it in order on the calendar. We do it in order of easiest game, in our opinion, to the most tough, the toughest game, in our opinion, 12-1. Now, I think I have a pretty strong idea that our number 12 and our number 1 will be identical, but I don't know where things will land in the 2-11 range. So it'll be fun to see what you both think, and it also gives you a little bit more of a chance to learn about each opponent as it goes. All right, Kennington, as you look at this Iowa football schedule, where do you put the number 12 game? I think I know, but I'll let you unfold it.
Right. This is the easiest game, correct?
Correct. Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure that we're going to have the same 12. I don't want to take the floor from under you starting this exercise, but I actually have Nevada at number 12.
Okay.
And this is my reasoning why. I understand that they have had a winning pedigree over the last few years. They have had winning records the last four consecutive seasons, but they do have a first-year and first-time head coach this year, so there is going to be a large coaching mismatch. And then on the talent scale, Nevada has only 6 returning starters from last year's team. That's the lowest in their conference. So they're going to be replacing a lot of players. They're going to have a first-year head coach. And then for me, I look at this matchup, where it falls on the schedule. It's going to be the night game. That's something that fans have been calling for. It's going to be something that they're very excited for. To me, it just feels like that's going to be a type of game where the team is just going to come out firing on all cylinders from start to finish. It just kind of feels like one of those boat race type games for me. I just feel like the energy is going to be there from the beginning. And with all of those factors, I feel like that is the game that I have the most confidence in a complete team performance start to finish. So that is my reasoning for having that as the easiest game on the schedule.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 12 for me as well. Former head coach Jay Norvell, of course, a former Hawkeye, went to Colorado State, where he replaces Steve Addazio. He basically took a lot of the players from Nevada over to Fort Collins. So, yeah, very inexperienced team. And it does come at a good spot on the schedule for the Hawkeyes, coming off a rivalry game against Iowa State. So it'll be September 17th, 6:30 p.m., BTN broadcast, and the gold game at Kinnick, and it's sold out. So, all right, number 11 on my I'll start on this one. Number 11 on my list, I've actually got the season opener September 3rd against South Dakota State, and that is telling for me, because I actually think this is going to be a pretty challenging game for the Hawkeyes, and it kind of tells you that the schedule is just not, there's not going to be any cupcakes outside of, I think, the Nevada game. I feel good that the Hawkeyes win that and won't go 0-12. But South Dakota Stadium, you know, you're still talking about an FCS program. Yes, one of the best in the country. Most of these guys probably did not have Power 5 offers, but certainly South Dakota State, one of the best FCS teams in the country. But I do think Iowa takes them incredibly seriously. They've recruited up there. They've recruited against them. They know the type of players they bring in. There's going to be a lot of respect from the Iowa side on this, so I think they take them seriously and get out on the right foot. So that's why I put South Dakota State 11. How about you?
Yeah, I have them in the same spot. Like you said, this is a FCS program that has performed at the highest level. They've been in the championship game. They've been in the Final Four the last few years. They have six preseason All-Americans on this team, so it is a talented team. And for me, I'm just looking at it first game. There's going to be a lot of pressure, especially on the offense, to come out and perform well early on. So the first game pressure, first game jitters, I think kind of put that above Nevada for me in terms of level of difficulty. So we are aligned.
Yeah, but this could be a boring radio show if we were aligned all the way, but still it's fun to talk about. So that one's September 3rd, 11 a.m. kick on FS1. All right, number 10, I'll give you the floor on number 10.
All right, number 10 for me is Northwestern. I think that the Northwestern team, I believe I picked them last in the Big Ten West. I feel like Iowa does have a talent advantage there. I like where it sits on the schedule, kind of similar to last year where Iowa had some tough games. They were able to get back on track against Northwestern. Where they sit on the schedule this year following the Ohio State game, we'll see where the team is at that point. But I just look at it as an opportunity for them to come back home. They haven't been home. They wouldn't have been home in a long time at this point.
Yeah,
in the
28
schedule.
Days, yeah. Yep.
Right. So the first game back at home, Kinnick is going to be rocking. I imagine a chance for the team to get back on track, or a chance for them to continue some positive momentum if they've played well up to that point. So again, I feel like it's a very winnable game for Iowa, and that's 10 for me.
Yeah, I cannot believe that I actually have this one 10 as well, because Northwestern gives Iowa so many fits, pun intended there, with Pat Fitzgerald at the helm. But at the same time, like you said, I just don't see this team as having the talent that it will take to come into Kinnick Stadium and win. Iowa has not beaten Northwestern at Kinnick since 2014. Believe me, that'll be a streak we talk about on that game week. And the other thing to worry about with this game for the Hawkeyes is that it kind of comes between two monster road games at Ohio State and at Purdue. Kind of flank this game October 29th at Kinnick Stadium. Like a 2 or 2:30 kick. They haven't set that yet. But it'll be an afternoon game at Kinnick. And, you know, there could be a letdown after a week at Ohio State. Or you could see a team that maybe got its doors blown off and comes out firing. So I think that it's more likely the latter. Iowa probably loses that game up over in Columbus and then comes back home with a must-win mentality. So that's why I kind of ultimately put it 10. But I realize that I'm tempting fate there, because Iowa has not had success against the Cats. All right. Again, we're in agreement, but I still think it's good to go through this. At number 9, I've got at Rutgers. Rutgers, I do think, will be an improved program. I think it's actually built a lot like Iowa around, they're trying to build it around line play and special teams. But I think Iowa has, you know, the advantage in those areas. I mean, not punter, maybe, believe it or not. But I do think that the Hawkeyes get it done over there. The road crowd won't be that bad. That's not like a hostile environment or anything like that. And I think the Hawkeyes go over there and you know, have a good chance of taking care of business. But at 3-0, they'll probably be ranked. It could be a real big deal over there. If Iowa's 3-0, I should say. So I do put Rutgers ninth.
Right. Well, this is our first disagreement. Sound the alarms.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
Difference of opinion. I actually have Iowa State in this spot for me.
Interesting.
Yeah, this is no disrespect to Iowa State, but when I look at this matchup, to me, last year's Cy-Hawk game, it felt so huge, and it was kind of one of those things where you felt like last year's team, with the talent that they had and the projections that they had, that it was kind of one of those, this is their best shot to beat Iowa. Not to say that it will never happen, but it just kind of set itself up for that. When I look at this year's team, obviously a lot less firepower than last year. It's going to be a home game at Kinnick, the first in several years from what I understand, because the COVID year kind of threw the scheduling off track. So that's going to be another game where the stadium is going to be rocking. We're going to talk about the fans and their impact on the game later on in the show, but I feel like that's going to be a game where the home field advantage is going to be huge, and I expect Iowa to come out fired up, and I think that this is, you know, a pretty winnable game for them on their schedule. So for those reasons, I have them at ninth.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, because between us, we have all four, you know, the first four games of September in our bottom four, one of us does, you know what I mean? So it kind of tells you that the early part of the schedule is more manageable for the Hawkeyes, we think, than the back half, which we'll get into. But interesting choice there. Yeah, Iowa State, it feels like they're due to beat Iowa. It feels like it is a year where Iowa commits the turnovers and Iowa State doesn't, that type of thing. But at the same time, you know, we've seen Iowa win six in a row now against the Cyclones, and we think Iowa has probably the better roster at this point and the home crowd. So, you know, that'll be low for some folks, but I understand your thinking there. All right, number eight. It's your turn to go first, isn't it? Number eight for you.
Yeah, number eight for me is at Illinois. Week following the Michigan game, you have to wonder about some sort of an emotional letdown. We saw this last year in the Penn State game where they had this huge win. I feel like the Michigan game is going to be very similar to the Penn State game, where you have two highly ranked teams at home. If Iowa were to win that game and move to, let's say, 5-0, they're going to be ranked very high going on the road to Illinois and then the bye week and Ohio State following that. So it is in a tricky spot. Illinois won five games last year, but two of them were against ranked opponents. So this is a team that will get up for a team that is higher ranked in the polls. Brent Bielema is trying to build that culture there. So year two, I'm going to be really interested to see how they come out and compete. So I just feel like that's going to be, you know, a middle of the road tough game for Iowa. And for those reasons, I have them at number eight.
Yeah, that's really a must-win game for the Hawkeyes. I've got them at 8 as well. That's October 8th, time to be determined. I don't know if I mentioned September 10th is the Iowa State game. I think you guys probably already know that, but that's a 3 o'clock kickoff on BTN. Anyway, back to Illinois. Yeah, I think it's a must-win for the Hawkeyes. They've owned that matchup. I mean, they've won 13 out of 14 against the Illini. Typically, Champaign does not have you know, a more intimidating environment, but we haven't seen the Hawkeyes face a Brett Bielema coach team over there. And Bielema does have a lot of motivation to beat Iowa. And you're right, coming off that Michigan game, could see it being tricky. So that's why I've got him eight. I mean, I think we're getting into games now that are going to be very, very difficult for the Hawkeyes. All right. So that's kind of our bottom five. Let's move into the seventh spot. And that's where I've got the Iowa State Cyclones. I've debated. I probably should have maybe even a notch or two higher just because of the rivalry aspect of this. But we've gotten into why this is going to be potentially a good spot for Iowa. But also, for me, it's one of these years. It's not going to work out where the Hawkeyes beat the Cyclones. So I've got them seven. How about you? Who do you got at seven?
For seven, for me, I have at Rutgers. A team that played very hard last year, made it into a bowl game. Greg Schiano, another coach like Bielema, trying to rebuild the culture there. And for me, first Big Ten game, first road game of the season. So that's why it's a little bit higher on my list. Like you said, it hasn't maybe traditionally been a great home crowd, but that's a team that will probably get it for Iowa if they're ranked at that point. They want to get their Big Ten slate started a little bit smoother than last year. Iowa's going to have some motivation to get theirs off as well. So just that heightened sense of first Big Ten game, first road game for me ups the difficulty, and that's why I have them in that spot.
Yeah, well put. We are halfway through this exercise. You're listening to Hawk Central from the Des Moines Register and KXNO. I am Chad Lystico talking Hawkeye football with Kennington Smith. All right, Kennington, number six, I guess the even numbers, we're giving you the floor first. So who do you got, six?
For me, I have at Minnesota. I feel like they could even be higher on this list, but for me, the biggest mismatch in this game is going to be their offensive line, replacing all of those pieces with Iowa's defensive line. Is going to be later in the year. Cold weather is going to be a physical game. I like Iowa's matchup there, and that's kind of why I have them middle of the road and not potentially higher. Rivalry game. Minnesota's obviously going to be motivated to try to break the streak. I guess Iowa's had a lot of success against them in the past. So for me, it's kind of like a middle-of-the-road difficulty game, but it does have that potential to be higher up on the list for me.
Yeah, it's a real tough spot there. It's November 12th is at, against Wisconsin. Then it's November 19th at Minnesota. And then, of course, Black Friday, November 25th to finish the season 6 days later. So, yeah, tough spot there for the Hawkeyes. That'll be the road finale. Interesting spot you got there. We do have a disagreement at six. I've got Nebraska. Nebraska, and I feel like I'm giving them the Huskers quite a bit of respect here in putting them ahead of Iowa State in this ranking. But I do feel like the overall roster talent at Nebraska is stronger. And again, Iowa's coming off a gauntlet there at Purdue versus Wisconsin at Minnesota. What do the Hawkeyes have left in the tank? You could ask that same question about Nebraska as well. But I just think that this is good. If Nebraska has any kind of decent season, that's going to be a really, really high profile, tough matchup. So I've got them six in that spot. So should be a good game. 3 o'clock on BTN at Kinnick Stadium. Who knows? Maybe they'll be playing for a West Division title at that point, or one of the teams will be. Number five. And this is another one. I hate to put them this low, but I'm going at Purdue for the Hawkeyes. I just think, obviously, we know the trouble that the Hawkeyes have had against Jeff Brohm, 1-4 under Kirk Ferentz against Brohm, and obviously took it to the Hawkeyes last year. But I think that plays to Iowa's advantage, which is why I feel like I've got it maybe in a little bit too low of a spot. But listening to the guys at Big Ten Media Days and other interviews, they're going to be very, very motivated for this Purdue game. So I feel better about Iowa's chances than maybe I would have. I think they're definitely going to take the Boilermakers extremely seriously this year, no question about it. And so I've got them up at five.
All right. And for me, I have Nebraska at five. So just one spot above where you had them for a lot of the reasons that you said, talent. Going to be better than a little bit better than Minnesota, who I had at six. They're going to have a quarterback who, at least in my opinion, is going to turn the ball over less than Nebraska's had in years past, with the difference between Casey Thompson and Adrian Martinez. And the last few Iowa-Nebraska games have gone down to the wire. They were extremely close. Last year was a nail biter. And I think that this upcoming year, looking at Nebraska's schedule, I kind of have them on that 6-7 win line. Mm-hmm. So this could be the difference between Nebraska going to a bowl game or not going to a bowl game in the final game of the season. There's going to be some added motivation for them on that side. Iowa could be playing for a West title, like you said. So for all of those elements and things that are going to be on the line, I have them at number five.
Awesome stuff. It'll be interesting to see. Will that be Scott Frost's last game as a Husker coach? Will he already be out as Husker coach? Or will he be riding a resurgence into Kinnick Stadium and have a long-term future at Nebraska? That'll be interesting to find out. All right, we've got four games to go in our exercise. Let's put a pin in it right now and take a break. Coming up next, we will discuss the four toughest games, in our opinion, on the Hawkeye football schedule. We'll also discuss excitement levels for next season, the Hawkeyes' preseason ranking, probably not what people expected, Lots more to discuss. Coming up next on 1460 KXNO, now on 106.3 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Hawkeyes. It's Hawk Central with the Des Moines Register on 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to Hawk Central Radio here on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. I'm your host, Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register. Kennington Smith, also of the Register, joins me again as we go through an exercise where we are ranking the most difficult games on Iowa's schedule, actually 12-1, so easiest to most difficult. If you missed our first segment, we got through spots 12 through 5, doing it in reverse order, and now we are on the four most difficult games, in our opinion, on the Hawkeyes' schedule in 2022. Kennington, it's been a fun exercise so far. Just to review, you 5 through 12 have Nebraska, Minnesota, Rutgers, Illinois, Iowa State, Northwestern, South Dakota State, and Nevada. That leaves four games left. Who do you got at number four?
Number four for me is at Purdue. A lot of the same reasons that you said. For me, a little bit higher on the list just because of past history, the Charlie Jones, Tyrone Tracy factor into it as well. It is a road game, even though Purdue home environment probably isn't as ruckus as others in the Big Ten, but on the road, it's still going to be a challenging game. And just kind of like, and I'm going to talk about this in my next selection, but just kind of like that psychological type of getting over that thorn in the
yeah.
In a rival that is emerging, you know, within your program. So just kind of getting over that hump puts them a little bit above the kind of the Nebraskas and the Minnesotas who they've had their number in the last few years for me.
Kennington, there's going to be a lot of coaches on Iowa's schedule this year that really want to take down Iowa. We've mentioned several of them already. We've mentioned Matt Campbell at Iowa State. We've mentioned Scott Frost at Nebraska. It's been a while. We mentioned Brett Bielema at Illinois. He would love to beat the Hawkeyes. And here's another one that really, really badly needs to beat the Hawkeyes. He's beaten Wisconsin twice, but not the Hawkeyes at all. PJ Fleck. I've got Iowa at Minnesota on November 19th as the fourth most difficult game on the Iowa schedule. I do think this is a pretty decent Minnesota team. Obviously, they bring back Mo Ibrahim, their quarterback, receiver, and then one of the top centers in the country now that Linderbaum's gone. So, and I think it's just a tough spot for the Hawkeyes. It's going to be freezing cold up there. I hope you bring your long johns up to Minneapolis on November 19th, Kennington.
Ready.
could be a little chilly up there, up north. It's just a different kind of cold up there in Minnesota. But yeah, I've got the Gophers number four on my list. And then I think it sounds like we're going the same direction in number three, so let's just discuss it now. I've got the Wisconsin Badgers at Kinnick Stadium. I almost put the Badgers a little lower just because I kind of like the Hawkeyes' chances this year against the Badgers. But again, you mentioned it, or referenced it a second ago. There's something about playing Wisconsin that Iowa freezes up, seems to just not play its game. Wisconsin does a great job taking Iowa out of its game and what it wants to do. They know each other so well. That game, November 12th at Kinnick Stadium, the blackout game, it'll be interesting to see what's at stake at that point. You would think both teams would still have a shot at the division at that point of the season. So, yeah, I've got Wisconsin number three.
Yeah, same here. For me, this feels like a Big Ten West championship tiebreaker game. I don't know if there's going to be a scenario this year where Iowa can win and then hope for a Wisconsin loss like they did last year. I feel like they have to go out there and kind of win it outright. A lot of the reasons that you said in terms of where the recent history has been, to reference Ric Flair, if you want to be the man, you got to beat the man. And this is the team that is overwhelmingly the favorite to win the Big Ten West title. So for those reasons, I have them at number three on my list.
Hey, well put. As when I did my preseason Big Ten projections, I did have the Hawkeyes winning the West with a 6-3 conference record, but that was because I had them beating Wisconsin as part of a tiebreaker. So yeah, I agree. Could be a major tiebreaker game, and it's good that it's at Kinnick. So, all right, number two. I guess you get the floor on the even number games. I would be stunned if we're not on the same page here, but you never know. Go ahead.
Yeah, number two for me is Michigan. Obviously going to be a lot of animosity given what happened in the Big Ten championship game last year. But Michigan is losing their top two edge guys that caused so much problems for Iowa last year, in Aiden Hutchinson and Ojabo. That is why they're a little bit lower on my list than Ohio State. But this is going to be a very challenging game. Obviously, Michigan has recruited at the highest level. Mm-hmm. They are the returning Big Ten champions. But I do like this spot for Iowa in terms of where it does on the schedule. And I have referenced many times that it feels like the 2021 Penn State game early October.
Yeah.
Going to be a top matchup. Kinnick is going to be rocking. So I like Iowa's chances going into the game, but this is about as high difficulty of an opponent as you're going to find, not only in the Big Ten, but in the country. Michigan was in the playoffs last year. So for those reasons, I have them at number two.
Yeah, Michigan brings back a majority of its offense that made the college football playoff. They scored 42 points against the Hawkeyes. Yeah, you mentioned that the defensive absences there. And they did lose their OC. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic there. Will both teams be undefeated? You know, Michigan could be a top five team at that point. I think Michigan should be undefeated. I'd be shocked if they weren't. And then as we've referenced, you know, Iowa has a reasonable shot to start 4-0 this year. At least we both believe that those first four games, they're in the bottom, you know, 33% or so of the schedule. So Hawkeyes have a shot to be unbeaten there. Yeah, October 1st at Kinnick, you know, certainly. With the stripe out game, that's going to be an electric. Hopefully it'll be at night or at least afternoon broadcast. I have him number two as well. No surprise there. And number one, of course, would be at Columbus, at Ohio State, October 22nd. This is a team with national title aspirations, very, very heavy favorite to win the Big Ten outright. Every single media member picked Ohio State to win the Big Ten this year in the Cleveland.com poll. Buckeyes it's just amazing the firepower that they're going to have on offense. And it'll actually be a fascinating game to watch. I hope Iowa's players are all healthy on defense, because Iowa does bring, you know, one of the most disciplined and probably best secondaries in the conference year after year. So it'll be interesting, Kennington, to see how the Hawkeyes fare against a team like this. And they haven't been in Columbus in 9 years. It's just, I hope we get to see more of these matchups in the future Big Ten, which is actually going to grow. But I love the idea of this matchup. It's just going to be such a difficult challenge for the Hawks.
Yeah, it's really interesting when you think about the top vote getters for offense and the defensive player of the year in the conference. Within that poll, you have two on offense for Ohio State with C.J. Stroud and Jackson Smith and Jigba. And then on Iowa's side, two of the top three for defensive player of the year with Jack Campbell and Riley Moss. I think a lot about how Iowa had difficulties with covering one star receiver and like David Bell from Purdue, and what their game plan is going to be with guarding Jackson Smith and Jigba. I'm sure they're I'm sure everybody listening is familiar with who he is, but if you're not, go back and watch the 2022 Rose Bowl game and see what, you know, Iowa's kind of up against in terms of elite receiver, top five projected pick in the draft, going to be in the conversation for the Biletnikoff and other things should he stay healthy. So that's a matchup that I'm very much looking forward to watching, and I think it's going to be quite the chess match between Phil Parker on Iowa's side versus Ryan Day for Ohio State.
Yeah, and it's possible the Hawkeyes, not trying to get your hopes up too high, Hawkeye fans, but it's possible the Hawkeyes would be 6-0 after their bye week, you know, if they can take down Michigan and take care of business. But still, the back half of that schedule is going to be really tough. So you got to get the wins early, I think, as we showed. I think overall, Kennington, just as you look at this schedule and you did this exercise, we did this exercise. What did your impressions change about how good this Iowa season could be, or maybe how bad it could be if things go off the rails a little bit?
Yeah, I think that this is kind of, for me, it's one of those things where I kind of look at it as Iowa's going to rise to the occasion and really be there at the end for the Big Ten West Championship, or it could be a situation where the season might kind of fall off the rails and they might be lower to where national expectations have them as maybe a 6-7 win team. I think a lot of it is going to depend on how much the offense takes a step forward. Obviously, special teams is going to be a question mark as well, but I kind of look at it as opposite ends of the spectrum. Like, either they're going to rise to maybe fan expectations and be a 9 maybe 10-win team if everything really aligns at the end of the year and competing for that Big Ten West title, or they're regressing, you know, far beyond the mean of where they've been in the last 2 years, where it could be, you know, a 6-7-win team at the end.
Yeah, the Hawkeyes, you know, Las Vegas number for win total is 7.5 for the regular season, over under, pretty solidly in that 7.5 range. So, you know, the odds makers say about a 50% chance they'll go 7 wins or less, 50%, 8 wins or more. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Yeah, it's a tough schedule, but it's also not impossible. If Iowa has a really good team, I mean, they could have a lot of these games in control. So we will see. It'll be fun to find out. Just 24 days away from kicking off September 3rd against South Dakota State. All right, speaking of expectations, Kennington, I think fan expectations are pretty high. I would say the expectations would be on the over for that 7.5. And we might get Trent Condon in here, to our gambling guru here at KXNO, to discuss some of those lines here before the season starts. But yeah, the season sellout. What does that tell you for the Hawkeyes? The level of interest among fans. 69,250 capacity will be the listed attendance for all 7 home games this year. Pretty exciting to think about. I know that happened late last week. We haven't had a chance to talk about it yet. But what is your reaction when you see that first time that's happened in 11 years in Iowa City?
Yeah, for me, when I think about it, the first thing that pops up to mind is obviously the caliber of home opponents sticks out to the fans. Iowa State, the first time in a while, Michigan, Wisconsin, it's an impressive home slate. But I go back to the Penn State game last year and the effect that the fans had on the game and the ripple effect that it's had on the program since then. You think about the amount of recruiting prospects that they've been able to pull in that have referenced that game. It seems like every time you get on Twitter in the off season and in the summer that you see clips and promo videos of that game being resurfaced, the Patriots regaining touchdown was obviously an iconic play. And I just think that fans are excited to be a part of that atmosphere and maybe even just create a similar type of atmosphere every single week. Like, I'm not saying that Kinnick hasn't had a great home atmosphere, you know, in years past, but that Penn State game to me just felt like just such a monumental moment, and it kind of creates an opportunity where they could recreate that type of atmosphere a lot more often. So yeah, those are two factors that kind of contribute to this sellout for me, and it wouldn't surprise me if it wouldn't be this much of a long gap between the next time Iowa sells out their home slate.
No question about your point there. Iowa has such a significant home field advantage compared to a lot of other stadiums in the Big Ten when the crowd's going like it is, and to have that pretty much guaranteed, at least in terms of folks in seats for all of the season, that gives you a little bit better feeling about even, you know, the Nevada game. You know, it's not going to be like there's 55,000 there. It's going to be packed. It's going to be packed with families, packed with people excited to see the Hawkeyes. So that'll be the whole season is going to be fun. It's a great home schedule, great kickoff times. I've pointed that out on Twitter. I think that's a big help when they know 5 of the 7 kickoff times at home already. And the other two they don't know are Michigan and Wisconsin. You're like, who cares? I'll be there no matter what, you know, for those games. So I think that helps with family planning. As someone who has young kids, that's a huge deal, and knows a lot of families that travel from Central Iowa to Iowa City. They try to make their plans, so I think that helps. So the more Iowa can do that in the future, the better. And then certainly the COVID factor. You know, people are itching to get back out there. I know there were fans, you know, reticent to go back out in 2021. They missed out in 2020, and so this will be the first time in 3 years for a lot of folks out there to see the games. And certainly alcohol sales at Kinnick, I think, also are a factor. So hopefully that it won't lead to, you know, the unruly fans we saw against Purdue, but and hopefully more the Penn State atmosphere. But all good points, Kennington, across the board there. It's a topic I wanted to address. Glad we did there. Speaking of expectations, as I mentioned, the Hawkeyes are unranked in the preseason USA Today coaches poll. You know, 66 coaches. Kirk Ferentz never does this thing, so he's not one of the guys with the ballot. He doesn't like to do it, but I was a little surprised Iowa wasn't at least, you know, like 22, 21, something like that. The Hawkeyes boxed out of the poll completely, one spot out at 26. But still, in my opinion, I think that's going to be one of those chip on the shoulder things for the Hawkeyes during fall camp. I think it actually is probably right where Kirk Ferentz would want to be at this point.
Yeah, 100%. It's definitely going to be no lacking for motivation. It's actually kind of funny when you saw the tweets yesterday and the reactions rolling in, at least on my timeline, there were a lot of fans that were happy that the team was unranked.
Yeah,
I
know. It's funny.
It's like you it feels like, at least for me, when I think about my teams, it's like you're like looking for the disrespect so you can like bookmark it and say, I told you so at the end of the year. And that's the same reaction that I saw from the Iowa fans, was just good. We're glad we got them right where we want them and all of those type of things. But at least in my opinion, I feel like Iowa definitely could have been, should have been ranked in the bottom part of the poll. You think about where they were last year. They won the West. They still won 10 games. And even though there are a lot of questions about the offense and we don't know who is going to be the starting kicker, you feel like they have enough returning talent and the retention and experience of their coaching staff to warrant at least number 25. But they were, you know, one spot out of the top 25. So they are right there on the cusp. So I can see it from both ways. But I don't think that there's anybody within the football facility sulking about that. If anything, right, it's probably it up all around the facilities, you know, saying things like, we won the West last year, we won 10 games, and we might feel great about our team, but we still have a lot of proving people wrong to do when we go out there and play real games this fall.
Yeah, I actually, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I just think about the Citrus Bowl. You know, the Hawkeyes, we're really within an eyelash. I mean, you know, they should have gone for, you know, we had the Brian Ferentz podcast. He's like, yeah, the math said we should have gone for that 4th-and-1. And they didn't. They punted it away. They lose the game, throw a late interception. If Iowa wins that game, they end up, you know, probably top 12, 13 in the nation, 11-3 record. And I bet everybody's picking them to win the West. You know what I mean? And they're probably 16th in the poll. You know, last year they were 18th in the preseason poll. So it just goes to show how voters think, and it just makes you kind of like realize the polls are ultimately really silly. You know, I'll be shocked if Michigan State ends up 14th in the country. They're preseason 14. There's, you know, yeah, another team that's not in the poll, I think, might be pretty good, is Penn State. And they weren't ranked either. LSU wasn't ranked. I mean, it's just kind of silly. I mean, you don't think LSU has talent and Brian Kelly and all that? I mean, I'm surprised like they were not in the poll. But I don't know. I realize the coaches' poll is kind of has lost a lot of respect over the years, but that is the one we use it with as part of the USA Today network. But I think, yeah, like you said, a good thing for the Hawkeyes. Anything else stand out from the poll from a Big Ten perspective?
Yeah, I think that overall there's just not much regard for the Big Ten West. I mean, Wisconsin being at being at number 20, the only Big Ten West team, and they were farther down. I mean, they were one of the last five selections. So I just think that overall, they feel like all the power in the Big Ten is on the other side of the division. Usually when you look at these polls, you try to see, okay, which conference has, you know, the most teams, second most, whatever. I feel like the Big Ten, a little bit lower than maybe in past years. I know they had more ranked teams in last year's preseason poll than this year's. So maybe they just feel like the conference is a little top heavy. So those were my initial takeaways. And like you said, there are other teams who I feel like could have been ranked in this poll that weren't. I think Tennessee is another example of a team going to surprise people. So a team that I'm personally worried about as a Georgia fan, I think that's going to be one of the toughest games on their schedule this year. So, you know, these polls are a little bit of a crapshoot, but as we've seen, you know, these things are going to play themselves out very early on. I mean, look at last year's poll. A lot of the teams that were ranked early on weren't ranked.
Indiana was 17.
Right.
They finished 2-10.
That weren't ranked, you know, weeks 3 and 4. So these things, you know, will shake up. But, you know, I will still be able to use this as good motivation going into the year.
Kennington, a pro, slips in a Georgia football reference on the Hawk Central podcast or radio show. Very savvy move there, Kennington. All right, folks, that was fun. Media day for the Hawkeyes is Friday. Kids' Day scrimmage on Saturday. Lots of Hawkeye football action in our face coming soon. We'll discuss that, preview that next here on Hawk Central 1460 KXNO.
Everything you need to know about the Hawkeyes. It's Hawk Central with the Des Moines Register on 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to Hawk Central Radio here on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Chad Lystico here of the Des Moines Register, taking you to 7 o'clock along with my colleague Kennington Smith. Kind of feels like, Kennington, we're wrapping up summer this week with the Hawkeye football team having media day on Friday, Kids Day scrimmage on Saturday, the Big Ten media rights deal. Details are starting to unfold there. I'm writing about that at hawkcentral.com. That's been posted, so check that out. That could be its own radio show by itself, but we're going to kind of focus on previewing the week ahead. This is a big week for information, really, for Hawkeye football and their fans. So Kennington, on Friday's media day, I know it's media day. It's not like fan day, but media day is our chance to communicate to the fans what they want to know. What do you want to know on Friday?
I think that the first thing that's on my mind and probably top of everybody's mind is just a general health report on the team, where are they at in terms of injuries on both sides of the ball. But for me, I'm going to be focusing on the playmaker skill positions. I definitely want to know what's happening at wide receiver. This is a topic that I've hit hard. It's ever since the end of last season. I feel like it's one of the top priorities in this upcoming recruiting class. I just want to know what's happening at that position, who's stepping up, and what that receiver rotation might look like. I think that that's going to be a huge part of their success this year on either side of the spectrum, if they're going to be able to connect better with their pass catchers. So that's probably the number one thing that I'm going to be looking towards for media day.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think a lot of people want to know who the kicker's going to be, who the return guys are going to be, but I have supreme confidence that we aren't going to find that out on Friday or Saturday. I think that's going to be decided closer to the season. So I don't think we'll find that out, but I'm actually certainly quarterbacks is a high topic on my list, and we'll talk about that when we get to the Kids Day scrimmage as well. But honestly, offensive line, I kind of want to hear about how they're feeling about where things are there. That was such a weak spot at times last year because of the injuries, because of the youth and inexperience at tackle, because of some of the matchups they faced last year. I mean, think about Purdue and Michigan with the edge rushers there. That was a big reason they lost those games. They could not block. And I think there's a sense that this offensive line might be pretty good, but it might take a little time. It might take time as the season evolves. It's going to be young. Kind of want to hear about this offensive line, see it in person on Saturday, talk to George Barnett, the assistant coach for the offensive line. I mean, I can't even remember the last time we talked to him. Kind of excited to learn more about the O-line. I think we feel pretty good about the defense. I'm glad you brought up injuries, because I know there's always a guy or two that's going to be withheld, you're going to worry about, and you don't want to hear about a major injury, I think, if you're a Hawkeye fan at this point. Nicks and bruises, you can deal with that. But then the other thing we can do now is talk to true freshmen on media day. So Xavier Wampa will be on the list for us, I'm sure. Incoming freshmen and guys we just haven't talked to yet that are in the program. So excited about that. Kids Day, I want to give our fans some details about the Kids Day scrimmage at Kinnick. We'll be at noon, free admission at Kinnick Stadium. Parking is free on the hard surface lots. Admission is free. They'll have concessions there, but make sure to bring your debit card, credit card. It's cashless. Clear bag policy in effect. I think those are the main details you all need to know. We'll see you there. But Kennington, as far as the scrimmage itself, we often get 80 to 90 minutes of scrimmage action. Should be a great day at the stadium. What are you going to be watching in particular?
Yeah, I think that one thing that stuck out to me in the spring practice that we watched was just the ineffectiveness in terms of running the ball. I think that there were some injuries along the offensive line. Logan Jones being in that type of situation for the first time as a center, not the full depth of the running back room played a part in that. So full running back room, Logan Jones has a little bit more time. Mike Maslinski is going to be in the fold as well. A lot of what you said about the offensive line ties into this. So I want to see how much of a step forward the running game took from spring practice to now.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I don't think we're going to see much from the offense in terms of creativity, variety, because, you know, we know that the Hawkeyes have made some changes, but this is not probably the day to unveil too many of them. Certainly, you know, of the, let's say there's 7,000 or 10,000 people there, there's going to be the potential for opposing scouts to kind of get an idea of what the Hawkeyes are up to. Certainly, you know, there's usually video of these things posted out there. And so, you know, they're not going to show too much, but I do want to see kind of how that quick passing game is going with Spencer Petras at the line of scrimmage. I mean, based on the still galleries, you know, it looks like the offense is doing pretty well. I know that's a leap to make off still photos, but kind of just want to see the quarterback play in general. And also just, you know, what, you know, how's Alex Padilla looking? I think we feel pretty good about him, and we feel, you know, good about Labus as well in terms of potential. But, you know, I think a lot of people's eyes are going to be on quarterback. And, you know, for Spencer Petras himself, I think he kind of needs a good day. I think he's got some confidence, I think, from the Manning Academy, Kennington. I think, you know, Brian Ferentz, you know, in conversations we've had, you know, I think they all feel pretty confident in Spencer Petras and that things are going well. We heard that at Big Ten Media Days as well from Kirk Ferentz. So I think it would help his confidence and just help the offense as a whole just to kind of have a good PR day. I don't think you want to come out of this day as vanilla as you want to look. I don't think you want to have a bad day on offense.
Yeah, definitely, especially after what happened in the spring practice. A lot of it had to do with the injuries. So that's why another thing, hoping that there's going to be the full team out there and that we'll get a chance to see maybe what we didn't see in spring practice. But I think overall, like you said, we're not looking for this super dynamic performance, but just traces and signs of offensive progress. I think that is kind of like the overarching theme here is there anything tangible, even in small doses, that we can point to and say that the offense is taking steps forward from what they put on the field last year?
Yeah, we'll get to see maybe how they feel about their cornerback rotation if everyone's healthy. Maybe how, you know, Cooper DeJean, is he exclusively cash? We'll kind of get a chance to see, you know, the transfer tight end, Steve Stylianos. We'll get to see a little more Xavier Wampa. We'll see, hey, is Quinn Schulte really the guy at free safety? Lots of, you know, hopefully lots of good evidence out there, Kennington. And your mom and dad will get to soak it all up. I'm curious to know what they think. Send them my best, and I hope they enjoy the game on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll do. It'll be interesting for them because they really don't know who are the great players and who's not, or who's starting and who's not. So I'll be interested to see what numbers stick out to them when I talk to them afterwards. And, you know, I think they're going to want to, you know, look forward to seeing you at some point, maybe beforehand. I know they want to say what's up to you also. So
that'd
we'll
be
coordinate
great.
Off the air.
Yeah, let's definitely coordinate that. All right, thanks, Kennington. You get back to mom and dad for now, and I will talk to you soon, my friend.
All right, sounds good. See you soon.
All right, Kennington Smith and I are ready for some football, and you are too. If you want to get your football juices flowing just a little bit more, make sure to check out the Brian Ferentz podcast with me. That was about 2.5 hours, available at HawkCentral.com and on Apple. Until next Wednesday night, this is Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register saying so long. See you next week right here on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.